You're listening to Cinematic Adventures, proud member of the Misfit Faction Media Network.
Good morning, Vietnam!
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
I feel the need for speed.
Roads, where we're going, we don't need roads.
Snakes. Why did it have to be snakes?
Vargas? We don't need no Vargas. I don't have to show you any stinking vices.
You make me want to be a better man.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Love means never having to say you're sorry.
He's looking at you, kid.
I've always depended on the kindness. Strange.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Would you be shocked if I put on something more comfortable?
You know how to whistle, don't you, Steve? You just put your lips together and blow.
I'm not bad. I'm just drawn that way.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Cinematic Adventures. If you're listening to us on the go, you can catch us on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and pretty much anywhere else you can listen to podcasts. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Sean, and with me in the studio, I said studio. I said studio. And that is Paul. Paul, how are you today?
I'm really happy you didn't call my basement a basement and just called it the studio. Because
I've never called it a basement. I feel like
that's been a conversation.
Not on the air.
But you know what? I'm good. Thanks for asking.
You're welcome. I'm glad to be here. You know,
on the highway to the danger zone.
On danger zone. Yep, it's gonna be a good one. No?
I mean, good for us is still pretty mediocre for everybody else.
That's very true.
We have a good time.
Oh, yeah, we have fun. I mean, people listening to us, I don't know if they have fun.
All 17 of you. We love you guys.
That's true. Most of them are Rob's film class.
Well, I got to tell Rob and Rob's film class, hi, guys, that hit the download button, please. Stop just listening to it. That's 17 listeners.
Well, that's Rob's fault.
I know. I'm going to blame him on that.
That's
one.
That's Rob's fault. Rob needs to be...
Actually, one of his... I forget which one off the top of my head, but one of his students did find us on Facebook, which you can do if you type in Cinematic Adventures. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on social media if you type in The Misfit Faction. You can go to our website, themisfitfaction.com. There you'll find links to all of our other shows, including not only Cinematic Adventures, but the Multiverse Fancast and MF Uncensored. And you can also read my next article, which is coming out, which is The Art of Really Good Tangents.
You're doing an article?
I've done articles, but I was trying to also be like, you know, how smooth my segue was into that.
Wow, nice segue.
Thanks, man.
You're welcome.
I hate you.
No, you don't.
A little bit.
You're good.
You're supposed to compliment me.
I do, all the time. Just not on air. Jeez, come on. Don't you know our shtick by now?
Our shtick. We have a shtick.
Have a shtick, and I apologize if I sound nasally. I'm... Got us the sniffles right now.
The sniffles.
Got the sniffles. The
most beautiful day of the week.
Oh, yeah. Too much cocaine.
Wow. Escalated quickly. But anyway, so we're talking about Top Gun today.
Are we?
And not the new one, because that would require us actually doing our jobs efficiently.
Well, so, you know, this movie is what? Almost 3 years in the waiting. Because this movie was supposed to come out in 2020?
Something like that. Yeah.
And kept getting pushed back, obviously due to COVID. And then finally got pushed back to, like, last year. And then I think it was, like, up against another big movie that Paramount didn't want it to. So they pushed it again, and it finally came out last week. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing this movie. And I hear you need to see it in, like, Dolby.
Yeah, so that's also one of the reasons we're waiting for. Obviously, it came out on Memorial Day week. Top Gun Maverick came out on Memorial Day. And we wanted to wait to see it in like the nicest theater we possibly could. So this past weekend just kind of didn't work out for us.
No.
So we figured let's talk about the original Top Gun and kind of the influence that it left.
Yeah. I mean, this is a movie that, I mean, we've been seeing this lately, you know, with sequels coming out years and years after the original. I mean, this movie came out in 1986. We weren't even born yet when this movie was released.
Yeah.
So it's been a solid 35 years since this movie came out. And the fact that we're getting the sequel, it's got Tom Cruise in it. It's, you know, basically the continuation of the story of Pete Mitchell, Maverick. And we get Val Kilmer, who I'm... That's not peak Val Kilmer.
No, Top Gun peak.
Oh, Top Gun is peak.
Top Gun is peak Val Kilmer.
I don't know about that. I think peak Val Kilmer is like 90s, like, you know, Tombstone and Batman Forever.
I will be prepared to argue this, so let's...
All right. So, Paul, what are your first thoughts when you think of Top Gun?
Oh, the soundtrack. I hate to say it. Like, as much as I wanted to think of something funny, like the slightly homoerogenous volleyball scene, I really, like, you can't even deny Highway to the Danger Zone is one of the best movie songs of all time.
I can concur with that.
The only time I like hearing that song more is in Harold and Kumar Escape from Guantanamo Bay. And like the worst FBI agent in the world is playing it while they escape.
Do you remember when we were at Southside for, I think it was like Lisa's going away party, and somebody played Danger Zone like 10 straight times on the jukebox?
No, I don't remember that. That's funny though. You don't remember?
Oh God, it just continued and continued.
And it should never end. It's a highway.
No.
Not a back road.
After about three times, I was like, all right. Let's calm down here. We're good. We're good.
Okay.
But before we jump into this, Paul, you got any news?
I did, and I totally forgot because I didn't write any of it down. All right, so let's start off with one of our...
Hey, you've remembered everybody.
I've remembered one thing so far. Let's see what happens. But Sean, you enjoy the internet, correct?
Yeah.
You are a fan of the internet? Obviously, if you guys are listening to us on Apple Podcasts...
We wouldn't be doing what we were doing without the internet, most likely.
Yeah, and if you guys are obviously listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or basically any other listening device, you're probably using the internet to do so. Now, the internet's a powerful force, a very powerful force, and there are times where its power is used for good, like when Will Smith smacked Chris Rock. The internet won that day. The memes alone, the videos alone, the incredible, just incredibleness of all these things. But then other times, the internet tries, and it tries to win, but it just doesn't. And this is the case for a movie that, well, we didn't particularly like, but is back again, Morbius. Was re-released into theaters based solely on the memes that it was generating. Morbius memes, with the most famous being "It's Morbin Time," pushed the idea into Sony's head that if we re-release this movie with all of this internet backing, it's going to do really, really, really well. So this past weekend, which is fair because there wasn't a whole lot going on. I mean, Top Gun's really the only thing that's just kind of pushing the box office at this point.
Pretty much.
We have Jurassic World coming out.
Yeah.
I'm oddly excited. We'll probably do an episode on that.
I'll see it.
I'm going to go see it.
I mean, the last one just left so much to be desired.
That's
fair.
Maybe we'll do an episode on Jurassic World. Who knows? Sure. But so the internet decided that they wanted more Morbius, but the general population said no. So Sony thought that this was the time to re-release Morbius this past weekend, and it only made about $85,000 more.
That's actually pretty good for what I expected it to do.
I know. I thought I misread it. It was only $8.50. But yeah, so it didn't do well. It did not recoup any costs. It did not change its box office. It still sucked. And yeah, but...
So basically, if you average a movie ticket at $13 a ticket... Only 6,500 people bought a ticket to go see Morbius this weekend, which is still a lot.
Yeah.
For that movie.
So the big question is why would anybody want to put something in a theater right now? Because also in news, Stranger Things season 4 volume 1 has dropped.
Oh, so good.
And
Obi-Wan.
Yes, Obi-Wan.
Even though it's not the whole season, it's the first two episodes dropped, and then the third episode just got released a couple days ago.
And The Boys just got released this past Friday, too. So everybody has been home streaming the last week.
Yeah.
So the idea of putting anything into a theater is a little iffy, if you ask me. I think The Boys released 3 episodes, Obi-Wan released 2, and now they're on their third. Mm-hmm. Stranger Things did 8 episodes.
I think 7.
Something along those lines.
And 2 more will drop on July 1st.
Which is crazy because those episodes are freaking long.
Yeah, which I'm okay with.
I'm totally okay with. They were like small movies.
Yeah.
And I'm all about it. And we'll do an episode on Stranger Things. We have some time off coming, so we'll have some extra episodes coming your way, finally. But yeah, so it's weird that they wanted to drop a movie, especially considering like people are home streaming right now. I don't know. But we also had the CW canceled. So what? What did you say?
Oh, Legends of the Hidden Temple after only one season. You watched it.
I watched 2 episodes. That was it.
It's 2 more than I watched.
Oh my God. It was so bad.
I just go on Paramount Plus and watch the original.
It is. Yeah. We want to do an episode at some point about relaunches and movies to TV and TVs to movies. And, you know, obviously we're doing Top Gun this week and then Top Gun Maverick next week. That's the goal. So that's a perfect example of it's been 30 years. Mm-hmm. Let's make a sequel. Pretty sure Tom Cruise hasn't actually aged in that time.
I don't think so.
No, he's whatever he's doing.
You got to give the man credit. I mean, he's really stuck with it in terms of being this like action star ever since he did the first like Mission Impossible. You know, every now and then he'll throw in like a more dramatic role, but like he's really kind of become this just action star, and he's actually still doing it fairly well.
Oh, he loves
minus
it
the Mummy.
Yeah, we don't.
Which just
the Mummy should have been good.
I don't blame him.
I don't blame him for that.
But it was a weird selection for him to be in that movie.
I don't blame him. I also don't blame the cast. Nah, I blame
the writers,
the script, and the studio.
The studio rushed it way too much.
The studio did not really think that one through. But anyway, and then obviously Top Gun Maverick has made, I think, $86 million.
It's at $86 million after a week.
Yeah,
so which is really good.
It's doing really well. Doing better than I want to see what the drop off is after this weekend.
Yeah, but again, nothing's out.
It's gonna be the
big
streaming,
key will be the big key will be after next week when Jurassic World comes out.
Yeah, because Jurassic World is already internationally is already tracking well. I think 50-ish million dollars internationally.
Oh, we might. Ooh, if we want to see Top Gun in a Dolby, we're gonna have to go before Friday.
Oh, this could be fun. But anyway, we'll get there when we get there. And that's pretty much
Paul's
all.
Paul's just like, oh god.
It's all the news that I pretty much have.
Alrighty then. So let's take a little break, and when we get back, we will dive into the plot and the cast of the 1986 classic Top Gun.
Hey guys, today's episode is brought to you by Raise Energy Drinks. Raise is a proud member of Rep Sports, and if you guys are looking for a little extra kick during your day, whether you need to tackle a workout or you need to get over that afternoon slump, you can always check out Raise Energy. And if you get to check out and you enter the code CINEMATIC, not only will you be getting a 15% discount, but you'll also be supporting the network. So that's Raise Energy with Rep Sports. Code is CINEMATIC, CINEMATIC.
And we're back. And folks, you're in for a treat. For the next half hour, Paul is going to serenade us with Danger Zone. Paul, here you go.
Highway to the... All right, I'm done.
That was a quick half hour, but well done. Everybody,
that's what she said.
Everybody out there is clapping for you. Oh, good for you.
No,
good
you tried. You tried really hard.
I know.
You tried.
All right, anyway. Well, Paul, why don't you take us through the cast of this movie?
Top Gun?
Yeah, original
Top Gun?
Yeah,
original Top Gun.
Original.
Miles Teller. No, I'm just kidding. All right, so we have obviously Tom Cruise as Lieutenant Pete Maverick Mitchell, a U.S. Navy pilot.
And this is probably his biggest, first big, blockbuster movie.
Was this before or after Risky Business?
This is after.
This is after Risky Business,
after The Outsiders. This is probably like the first movie that launched him into like stardom.
And arguably, this movie is still super iconic, super legendary.
Quotable.
Like Risky Business, everybody remembers
the dance. That's the main thing about that movie that everybody remembers.
People who don't remember the plot is actually like about prostitution and illicit drugs.
He opens a brothel in his house.
Basically. Oh, who hasn't? But anyway. Whoa. So really quick, Sean, who'd win in a fight? Pete Maverick Mitchell or Topper Harley?
Ooh.
Ooh.
Now, Topper Harley from Hot Shots or Hot Shots Part 2?
That's going to be the follow-up question because I want to hear your first answer.
I think Tom Cruise would win in...
Against Hot Shots 1.
Yeah.
I think Hot Shots 2.
I still think Tom Cruise would win.
Really?
I don't think Topper Harley is the greatest fighter in the world. I think he's a klutz.
But he also has a great fight scene in the beginning.
That's true.
You win. So, all right. That's interesting.
But he goes for the gummy bears. He doesn't go for anything else.
Yeah.
Gummy bears.
Sprinkles. But anyway, so going back to this. All right, so Tom Cruise, obviously, we said one of his most iconic roles, and still, obviously, there was a strange desire, I guess, for people to... when they first announced the sequel with him coming back, what were your original thoughts?
I'm not going to lie. I was probably, like many people, going like, oh, really? The guy is doing all these Mission Impossible movies. Now he's going to go back to the Top Gun. I was like, okay, I'll see it. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't like, oh my god, I can't wait for this movie. But maybe it was the delay that just I was like, all right, I want to see this movie. And then finally, just 2 years later, I'm like, I really want to see this movie.
Yeah.
And yeah, I won't lie. When I first heard that they were doing this, when they were doing the sequel, I was kind of like, okay, I feel like we're reaching here, but
yeah,
we'll see.
I don't know. Like I was never like a big Top Gun fan growing up. Like I saw it, I enjoy it, but like we've been burned by so many. Like look at No Time to Die. We waited, and like we enjoyed it, but we were not like
I agree.
Or then you get a movie like Dumb and Dumber 2, where we waited and waited, and we didn't really want it, but then they brought back the original cast, and
it's always a risk.
50-50.
And Tom Cruise is kind of like in that, what's that word? Where like he's not the number one box office star, you know, that he once was, but people, he still has a fan base out there.
And I think people also, they go to see his stunts.
Well, now, especially in the last few Mission Impossible movies, like
every news report you hear about a Mission Impossible movie is always about it's not even that. It's always about what's the big stunt. What is, you know, is it hanging off the plane, or the one where he shatters his ankle and then keeps running.
You see it in the movie.
Rough.
But I mean, the guy has, I mean, who would have thought after Mission Impossible 3 that we'd have like five more?
Well, that franchise turned into what the Fast and Furious franchise was looking to turn into, yes, almost. Because we always talk about the Fast and Furious franchise, how it was okay. It started off okay.
Then it went really good.
And now
it's back to just,
yeah,
just turd.
Well, it's funny because the Fast and Furious franchise, like the first one is good. The second one's okay.
Yeah,
the
second one's a typical sequel.
Tokyo Drift has its like a cult following at this point, myself
especially
included.
Especially for car enthusiasts. Yeah. It's like a...
And then the fourth one comes out and it suddenly starts to go really upwards. 4, 5, and I think six were like really good. And then, seven just kind of... And Hobbs and Shaw.
Seven was the last one with Paul Walker. And even that one wasn't great. Mm-hmm. But then obviously after Paul Walker died, it wasn't the same.
But anyway, we digress. Mm. Who'd win in a fight? Actually, this is a fun one. Who'd win in a fight? Paul Walker's character from Fast and Furious, or let's go with Val Kilmer's Iceman?
I'm going to go Val Kilmer.
Really? You're going to go Val Kilmer? No planes involved.
No, I just think Val Kilmer's got, you know.
Right. And this is peak Kilmer. Or this is close. This is prime Kilmer,
I guess.
Because what year did this movie come out?
This is 86. So, I mean, he's still fairly young in his career. I mean, he had done, I think, Real Genius before this, and he had done Top Secret before this.
So let's talk about Val Kilmer.
Willow. I don't know when Willow came out.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about Val Kilmer as Iceman Kazansky.
You're dangerous, Maverick. Well, he doesn't say that line. That's James Tolkien.
Who'd win to fight, though? Iceman or Cary Elwes' character from Hot Shots? I think Cary Elwes.
Why?
I think because he can also sword fight.
But not in that movie?
We don't know that. Yeah,
I want documentation proving that he can't before I say my answer.
But obviously, you know, Iceman and Maverick, they have their rivalry. It's parodied to death and other things.
Yeah.
And I would argue, though, it's another thing that people remember from this movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a big part of it. And it's like the, you know, we're all friends at the end. Yeah. You earned my respect. Yeah.
You're still dangerous.
What is a crock pot? We got Kelly McGillis as Charlie Blackwood. She's an instructor at Top Gun, and I want to say is she a psychiatrist?
I don't think she's a psychiatrist. She's an instructor, so she's got like the clearance to talk about all the things going on.
Oh, astrophysicist and civilian Top Gun instructor. So I've been to training with civilians in, like, I don't want to say what field, but like it's always interesting having civilian instructors in a field where, like in this case, they're all military.
Mm-hmm.
To have civilian, it's always an interesting dynamic. So I actually enjoyed it more nowadays. Let's see. We have Anthony Edwards as Goose Bradshaw, Maverick's radar intercept officer and best friend. And obviously the one he delivers the most iconic line from this movie. I will say, I feel the need.
The need for speed.
Yep, it's in our intro
for
the show.
The two of them had a really good chemistry.
Oh, absolutely.
And I love Anthony Edwards. Anthony Edwards is one of those actors that, like, any movie he's in or any role he's in, he's always, you know, just very likable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know of him more from, you know, the show ER. He was, like, the star of that show for the first, like, 8-9 years of the show, and
right,
he was fantastic on that. Revenge of the Nerds, the first Revenge of the Nerds. He's one of the leading characters. So it's, you know, it's going to be, it was always fun watching the two of them work in this movie.
Mm-hmm. And it's even funnier because you go to a character like Val Kilmer, or an actor like Val Kilmer, who didn't even want to be in this movie.
Yeah, but he was, you know, under contract.
Yeah. So for those of you guys who don't know, a lot of times when actors sign contracts to do a movie, it's like, I really want to do this movie, especially bigger names. They'll be like, okay, you can do this movie, but then you owe us this movie, or mm-hmm, you owe us a movie of our choice. And usually that's, you know, agents and management and all that stuff. That's why the movie 43, notoriously terrible movie with this huge cast of
all
actors.
Tied into the contracts that it was able for them to get out of these like movie deals and stuff. Right. But so, like for Val Kilmer, I'm sure that was like the first contract he signed. Because again, this is still fairly early in his career too. So, you know, he was probably locked in to doing this movie, and the studio was just like, yo, either you do this movie or you got to wait and do more movies for us. Like, this gets you, at, you know, closer to your goal of hitting our thing. You know, again, this is pre Tombstone. This is pre The Doors. This is pre Batman. You know, that's why I say, like, is it this peak? I'd still say it's his fairly beginning, but, you know,
this is where it starts.
This is where it starts. This is the movie that launches him into, like, oh, okay.
And I'll still argue I loved him as Batman.
I loved him as Batman,
Batman
too.
Batman Forever, still an underrated gem. Let's see. We have Tom Skerritt as Mike Viper Metcalf, commanding officer and instructor at Top Gun and a veteran of the Vietnam War who served with Duke Mitchell, Maverick's father.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Skerritt. Still one of my favorite cameos in Ted.
Ted, where's my daughter?
My daughter's better still be alive, you sick son of a bitch. It was such a funny movie, though, and such a funny scene. Let's see. Michael Ironside as Rick Jester Heatherly, a naval aviator, a Top Gun instructor. I wonder what our nicknames would be. I feel like yours would be Long Arms. Strong Long Arms Barrett. Okay. I'd have a lame one. It'd be like Paul Maglietta.
Paul?
It'd just be like my first name just twice. Oh, everybody knows my full name. Let's see. We have John Stockwell as Bill Cougar Cortell, Maverick's former wingman. Ooh. Barry Tubb as Leonard Wolfman Wolf. See, it's a cool nickname, but it sucks because that's like just my last name.
Well, when you would say it with Wolf, it sounds weird. But if you just call him Wolfman.
Just Wolfman, Rick Rasevich as Ron Slider Kerner.
Rasevich.
Him too.
Tim Robbins.
Yeah.
This is one of his first.
What a crazy
this
cast.
This is pre-Bull Durham, so this is one of his first movies.
As Sam Merlin Wells.
I don't think you ever see him outside of like the setup when he's in the plane. Like you never actually see his face. You just see his eyes.
How pissed would you be?
Well, I mean, he's young. He can't make, you know.
Clarence Gillard as Marcus Sundown Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Whip Hubley. That should just be his actual name.
Whip.
As Rick Hollywood Nevin, James Tolkien as Tom Stinger Jardian.
What's his name in Back to the Future? Strickland. Mr. Strickland.
Meg Ryan as Carol Bradshaw, Goose's wife. And Adrian Pastar of Heroes fame as Lieutenant Charles Chipper Piper, Naval Admiral Aviator. So, stacked cast. Huge cast.
Very
amazing
good cast.
But
when you look back on it, it's a very good cast. At the time it wasn't considered but there are some. I mean, again, when you have Meg Ryan and Tim Robbins as like very little, you know, appearances and, you know, with the careers they went on to have, obviously, you know, Tom Skerritt, very well-respected actor. Michael Ironside, you know, is a big voice actor for a lot of...
he was Darkseid.
A lot of DC stuff. He was in Smallville, wasn't he?
He was.
General Lane in season four.
Oh, still so good.
That was good. Anthony Edwards, we were talking about. Val Kilmer, obviously. And then both Tom Cruise and Kelly McGillis both had, you know, were well-known at the time. So, again, very well-done cast. We forget, also, directed by the late, great Tony Scott, the brother of Ridley Scott.
Yes.
And Tony Scott, you know, he made basically, you know, very stuck to the action drama, unlike Ridley, who would like, you know, differ in the different genres. Tony Scott basically stuck with, you know, the action film drama. He was very good at it. I loved a lot of his later movies, the ones like right before he passed away. And he did the remake of Taking a Pelham 1-2-3 with Denzel and John Travolta. He did Unstoppable with Denzel and Chris Pine. I love that movie. So he had a good career. Sadly, you know, he passed away. God, it's been over 10 years. So that was one bummer that he wasn't able to obviously be a part of this remake.
Reboot.
Sequel.
An actual sequel?
Actual sequel.
But so it's funny because this movie creates a... This movie is not rocket science, like I hate to say it. It's very simple in its plot. It's beat for beat. It's almost script writing 101. It's here's our hero. Mm. He doesn't play by the rules, and he does things his own way. Here's the rival that's eventually going to become his friend. Here's the friend that's going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Like they kind of almost check off character archetypes very quickly. Here's the admiral that really respects the main character but can't show him any affection. You know, like all these things. But obviously, Maverick, and even that phrase, like a maverick, became a phrase of like a rebel, of somebody who does things their own way. You know, you're such a maverick. I mean, I guess. I don't know. It's not 1986 anymore.
Well, you have to look back on, you know, when this movie came out. We're in the middle of, you know, the Reagan, the second term of Reagan presidency.
America.
You know, we're still in the Cold War. So this movie's very pro-military, and, you know, it really, you know, it wasn't anything against the military in any way compared to a movie that came out the very same year and was Best Picture winner in Platoon. That movie was like, oh my God, you know, this is what happened during the Vietnam War. And then you watch this movie and it's very like bubblegum-ish, you know, like, you know, all's well.
Let's go play volleyball on the beach.
Yeah. So it's a very different, you know, spectrum on where we were in the Cold War era and the war and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look at movies are propaganda. They always have been ever since the early days where they would show the news first and then they would show the movies. Like, one of my favorite things in Captain America, the First Avenger is, you know, he films pro-war movies. They're not real.
War bonds, stuff like that.
War bonds. We just started The Boys on Amazon, and they introduced a character played by Jensen Ackles called Soldier Boy, who is like the Captain America. So they do a really good job with their viral marketing where they first release like a bunch of PSAs, very similar to like in Spider-Man Homecoming, the, hey, don't do drugs. And if you think drugs are cool, tell them your friend Soldier Boy said it's not cool. And then, like, a couple of days later, they released the outtakes of Jensen Ackles' character. Just like, well, if drugs make you uncool, I'm the most uncool mother effer in the planet. Like, just, it's all propaganda. It's all show. And, you know, this, I do agree with you that this is, it's one of the reasons that this movie is so cult favorite, respected. You know, it didn't do nearly as well when it first came out, but it definitely developed a strong
enough. Following. And the fact that you got, I mean, to me, when you get a spoof of a movie, to me that says something about the movie that's being spoofed.
I mean, look at Weird Al. Weird Al is one of my favorite just performers, but like other singers, they're like honored when he asks to do a parody of their stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like there are plenty of times where it's like been like, hey man, like sometimes it's better than what I made. So I do agree. Anytime you get your stuff spoofed,
to me that's always like, and, you know,
especially to the point of a full movie. Like Hot Shots is a full movie spoof of Top Gun with other things.
It's very similar
in.
To Scary Movie where you watch and you're like, oh, that's the same plot as the movie it's spoofing, basically. Yeah. You know, a little different, but
I'll argue Scary Movie 2, while it follows The House on Haunted Hill, it's its own plot.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's its own plot.
I think they knew going into after Scary Movie, I think a lot of people were like, you literally just did almost a shot-for-shot spoof of Scream.
Mm-hmm.
So, excuse me.
Sean's dying.
I am dying. But, oh, man. So, that is basically the cast of this movie. And then, do we want to do the plot? Or
we can. Do you want
to? I think it's pretty self-explanatory.
Like
so,
I said, it's also not rocket science.
No. So, basically, you know, Maverick and Goose are, you know, a team who are on the carrier. And another team led by Cougar, a character you mentioned in the cast, he kind of had a meltdown in the air and he gives up his, you know, he quits from the Corps. So in doing that, Maverick and Goose are the next up to go to Top Gun School, which is basically the best of the best.
Yeah, this like
where all the best flyers go.
Like the Navy SEALs of...
Yeah. So already, you know, Maverick is coming into a situation where a lot of people think he doesn't deserve to be there.
Right.
And he's got this reputation because his father, you know, has this sort of bad reputation from back from the Vietnam War.
Get back here.
So it basically, it's Maverick having to have to prove himself, but he's also cocky. He doesn't do himself any favors. So he's not like doing his best and everybody's like, we don't like you. It's he does things and you're kind of like, we don't want to like you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and Tom Cruise is very good at that.
Oh, yeah.
He's playing the cocky, you know, the cocky guy who knows he's good and he's trying to tell everyone, you know, I'm the best.
It's one of my favorite attributes of him in the Jack Reacher movies.
Mm.
I still have to watch the series or read the books because I know that the
series is so much better. The series is the book.
Yeah. But I really enjoyed.
I liked
especially
him too.
The first Jack Reacher was really good.
The first Jack Reacher was very good. And there's some great moments between him and Goose where Goose is just like, I really want to graduate. And with you doing these things, we're not going to do it. So they have their moment where Maverick's like, I'm not going to let you down. I will stop doing the crazy stunts.
And what happens?
But it wasn't his fault. No, it wasn't his fault.
It's debated online. That's actually a huge online debate about whether or not Maverick. Oh, by the way, full spoilers for the movie that came out 30 years ago.
Goose dies, everybody.
Yeah, Goose dies. And it's like a big part of the movie. And it's sad. It's definitely sad. And great parody in Hot Shots.
Wendy, I can fly.
Well, what's even funnier is, doesn't Goose die because he gets like jettisoned out? Like, they evacuate.
And the hood of the plane doesn't eject fast enough. And he, I'm guessing, breaks his neck or...
Yeah. But it makes me laugh because what's his face from Two and a Half Men?
Oh, John Cryer.
He goes into the bottom of the other person's plane after he ejects. Oh, man. But anyway.
Do me a favor. Don't land.
Yeah, we're going to make a lot of Hot Shots references, too. You guys are lucky we're not actually still singing Highway to the Danger Zone or Take My Breath Away.
That's...
Academy Award winning song.
Academy Award winning song. I always forgot that that was written for this movie.
You don't ever think about it.
Yeah.
I don't even remember what... What is it? The scene where they, like...
It's played, like... The instrumental version is played throughout the entire movie, and then the scene where the him and Kelly McGillis get together for the first time, then you hear the lyrics.
Yeah.
And then I think it's in the credits too. And then you got the "You've Lost That Love and Feeling" is a famous song from this movie when he sings it to her in the bar.
This movie has such an incredible soundtrack. It really, really does, and I think it lends so much to the actual movie.
Mm-hmm.
Highway to the Danger Zone. As much as we like
Kenny Loggins,
it's still so freaking good.
See, I love Danger Zone, and I love Footloose, and then also a song from Caddyshack, "I'm All Right," is a great one.
Oh, that
is a
good
one. The guy's
done
so many great songs.
Yeah. What a shame.
What a shame.
It's a shame that we don't get as many movies where the sound, unless it's like a Disney movie and it's played to death, like Frozen or whatever. There are very few movies like the soundtrack. You know, instrumentals notwithstanding, like you can argue like Star Wars with like Duel of the Fates or the Imperial March, but I love, there's something about a movie soundtrack. I think Guardians of the Galaxy has actually made that come back a little bit, and Stranger Things too. Mm. Apparently, the song from Stranger Things that
the Kate Bush,
like it topped the Billboard Top 100.
Oh yeah, and it's a fantastic scene with the song.
It's really good. Yeah,
so good.
But
it says here, so Top Gun soundtrack is one of the most popular soundtracks to date, reaching a 9-time platinum certification, number one on the Billboard 200 albums chart for 5 non-consecutive weeks in the summer and fall of 86. The guy Harold Faltmeyer, he also did the score to Beverly Hills Cop.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know that great theme to Beverly Hills Cop. I mean, you know, it's so good. So yeah, you're right. This movie does have one of the best soundtracks of all time. Apparently Bryan Adams was considered for the soundtrack of this movie, but he did not participate. Let's see what here we did. So the film's premiere was held in New York City on May 12th, 1986, and another one in San Diego, because in San Diego, that's of course where the Top Gun school is located.
Yeah.
The film opened in the U.S. and Canada on May 16th, 1986. Let me find the box office numbers. It quickly became a success and was the highest grossing film in 1986. It would be 6 months before its theater count dropped below that of its opening weekend. And it had a weekend gross of $8.2 million.
It's crazy to look at those
numbers. I mean, again, this is 1986, so $8.2 million is a lot back then. It went on to do a total domestic of $177 million and then another $177 million internationally. So overall, it made $350 million worldwide.
Which is crazy considering it had a budget of $15
million. And when you think about nowadays, a movie does $350 million in its first opening weekend.
It's crazy.
I mean, I would like to see what it would have been if it inside of inflation, but they don't say what it was. A lot of times they'll do that now where they'll say, like, because of inflation, this is what it would have made if it were released today.
Also, basically, movie budgets are one of the most interesting things in the world. Because basically, movie budgets not only include the actual making of the film, but they also include the advertising. And nowadays, it's so important to do that advertising. And it was different back in the 80s. Like, you'd get your Burger King commercials where they made the toys and stuff. Yeah. But, like, I don't...
We didn't have the internet where you could watch a trailer a million times before the movie came out. We didn't have – you were just happened to luck out on the channel you were watching that day if you happened to see a trailer. I mean, I don't even know how big trailers were back then.
Probably did
you
just only for see other movies.
Like, did you only see trailers in the theater? Like, that's did they really think, show trailers on TV? I've actually never thought of that.
I know they would show TV spots, but not full trailers.
Yeah, you're right. Thank you. That's absolutely correct. Like a TV spot. So like a 20-second – TV promo saying coming soon, you know, this and this. So it's a totally different world
nowadays.
So,
I mean, it has to, like, it ties ties into like Jurassic World is coming out. So I guess they partnered up with Hardee's.
Oh, Hardee's. And then they got the Barbasol thing, of course, because they're harkening back to the first movie with the shaving cream.
But or like I mentioned, The Boys, where they do a bunch of viral marketing beforehand just to get word of mouth going and just to get discussions being made. Yeah. And
Stranger Things is doing thing with Frito-Lay.
Yep, had something in New York City, some Stranger Things experience.
That's been there for a while, though, I think.
But I keep seeing it pop up. And now, even social media, like Facebook, TikTok, all these things, if you want to make a film, you have to like have it. I was on TikTok and all it is like Miles playing, I guess they play football in this movie, and he's, you know, all jacked and like with his silly mustache.
He looks just like Anthony Edwards, though.
It's scary.
He looks just like Anthony Edwards.
So part of me for Maverick, I wanted to go in completely blind, mm-hmm. like not knowing anything about it. And I like he's Goose's kid, right?
Yeah. They don't hide that fact.
Yeah. So. But yeah, like I said, but I'm curious to see what kind of dynamic him and Tom Cruise have in this, because obviously we mentioned Tom Cruise's character gets cleared of all the charges, but he does deal with the guilt of it.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's a big part of the movie. But and you know, obviously after it happens, he still goes back and he graduates and all that stuff. But it for some reason it makes me think of Team America when, you know, he goes to the bars. I just want to be left alone, man. But I don't know, like this movie, it's so weird because people know this movie, but then you try and ask them, what's the plot? I'm like, and people are like, I don't know.
Like they know this movie for the soundtrack. They know this movie for, obviously, it stars Tom Cruise. They know the Need for Speed and, you know, your ego's writing checks, your body can't cash. It is, you know, the plot is very simple when you think about it. It really is. There's no, besides the death of Goose, there's really no other
character development.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, they Goose dies, so he, you know, he's allowed to graduate. He's obviously grieving. You know, they are, after graduation, they are summoned back to the same carry he was on earlier in the movie. And, you know, there's obviously a situation going on where they have to, you know, protect the carrier and go off. And Maverick is still chosen to be the wingman behind the two other teams. And, you know, obviously Val Kilmer's like, are you sure that's a good idea? He's
not a good wingman.
He's still kind of, you know, in a bad space with what happened to Goose. And he's not like a dick about it. He's like, you know, it's not personal. I'm just, you know.
He's also not wrong.
He's not wrong. This guy's been through a tragic experience. You don't want someone who's not, you know, all there to be protecting you. So, and also a good thing about this movie is the sequences with, you know, the fighter jets. Very well done.
Fantastic.
Very well done.
And that was and Tom Cruise is also very serious about stuff like that. Whenever the military's involved.
Well, this, now he is. Yeah. You know, I don't know about back. He obviously probably didn't have as much clout back then. But I think Tony Scott was also big. And obviously the producers, Jerry Bruckheimer and Don Simpson, they were very big on, you know, realism, making this, you know,
same thing
no
with
green screen, you know.
Say what you will about Michael Bay, mm-hmm. He'll put as much military stuff in his movies as he possibly can, and very respectfully too. But I think that's an important thing. You know, if you're going to make a movie that depicts any facet of, you know, the military, they're heroes. I'll say it, like, you know. But anytime you get the chance to honor and respect them, I think it's really important and done well, obviously. And that's why one of my favorites, I know I keep going back to Captain America, but like when he's like doing all the montage of him like selling the war bonds and this and everybody loves him, and he actually goes to the actual war and all the guys are like, get off the stage, man.
Yeah, they don't respect him.
Yeah, because like that's the real war. It's not the fluffy propaganda.
No, absolutely.
So I think that this movie, one of my favorite things about it is
A lot of people, though, feel that this movie was fluffy propaganda.
To a point, absolutely.
And then, of course, as I said earlier, when you look at the stark realism of Platoon and what was going on over there, because, I mean, again, you get into a whole discussion on Vietnam and all that.
Oh, God, we'll be here for days.
So it's just a stark contrast between, you know, what this movie, how this movie felt about war effort and what they did about the military, and then you look at, you know, Vietnam or in Platoon, and it's just like, oh my God.
I think also no disrespect to any branches of the military, but the Air Force, especially in this, where they are just above the action and they're firing, like you're not getting your hands dirty in the same way as somebody that'd be on the ground in Vietnam.
Yeah.
So I do agree, but one of my favorite debates, I have a lot of friends that served in different branches of the military. Get them going about which one's the best. It's always like,
oh yeah.
It's like when you pull one of those cars back and then you start hearing the creaking of the wheels and you're like, should I let it go? Nah, I can go a little bit further. But to all of our brave men and women, especially because it was just Memorial Day.
Yeah, absolutely.
For those who made that sacrifice, we thank you guys. But yeah, this movie, I do really enjoy it, but again, it's not one of those movies where like
it's not a movie I can watch all the time. Like
if they re-release it, I'll go see it.
That's actually a good point. If they did bring it back to theaters, which I'm kind of surprised they didn't,
like a nice double feature, feature. Dolby.
I would have. It was nominated for 4 Academy Awards. You know, it was nominated for best editing, best sound effects editing, and it won for best original song for "Take My Breath Away," as you said earlier.
So it's very. I would be very concerned or interested to see what kind of awards they're talking about for this for Maverick.
It'll probably like special effects.
It's going to be special effects. It's going to be some sort of...
I don't think it's going to get any...
Does it have a sound, like a theme song? I haven't heard anything.
Apparently Lady Gaga did the music for this movie. You don't like Lady Gaga?
I do. Don't get me wrong. I really, really do.
I think Lady Gaga and... I think Lady Gaga has a song for it, but I think she also helped orchestrate the movie.
Okay.
And I think Hans Zimmer did some of the music as well.
Top Gun Maverick soundtrack. I know we're getting... Oh, Hans Zimmer. Yeah. Let's see. Lauren Beth. Harold Faltermeyer.
That's the guy who did the original score.
Oh, Lady Gaga and Hans Zimmer, yeah. Interesting. Let's see. It consists of the film's score as well as two original songs, Hold My Hand by Lady Gaga and I Ain't Worried by One Republic. I have to listen to those. Because, you know, it's like we said, the original Top Gun was very well known for its soundtrack and still well known for its soundtrack. You can't put on Highway to the Danger Zone or Footloose without thinking of the movie that they came from, right?
Absolutely.
There are plenty of others, like Live and Let Die became its own song. Like,
see, that good point, because when I hear Live and Let Die, I don't think about James
the movie.
Bond.
No.
It's a great song right off, you know, but so is these songs. But I mean, Danger Zone's a great song, but it's just...
Take My Breath Away, I don't think of Top Gun, which
is
very strange.
I don't think of that. But I didn't know. It's been so long since I'd seen the movie. I forgot that Take My Breath Away was from this movie.
Or I've Had the Time of My Life.
Yeah, that's Dirty Dancing.
It's always Dirty Dancing. But we'll do a whole episode at some point on movie soundtracks and just some of our favorites.
One.
Yeah,
that's
like just some, the most iconic movie music.
Yeah.
Or
now, music that's written specifically for the movie, or like a movie that uses already known songs as a soundtrack.
It could be both.
Like Shrek.
Oh, Shrek.
The first
Shrek
has a great soundtrack.
Oh, yeah. But it's all like, you know.
But it's all movie songs that, you know. Night's Tale did that too. Night's Tale was weird. It was like, you know, obviously set
nothing
in medieval
weirder
times.
Than the rock music playing in the middle of. Yeah, I love it, though. What's another really good one? Guardians of the Galaxy, obviously.
Oh, Guardians
made
of the
it,
Galaxy.
Made it mainstream.
Thor Ragnarok with the immigrant song.
Or you even look at Peacemaker with Do You Want to Taste It, which became a huge song to bliss. I think that same thing. It started charting and it came out years ago. But you want to do a Star City rating for Top Gun?
Yeah, I will give this. Excuse me. I'll give this movie a 4.
I'm with you. I think 4. I think if it had more plot to it, it would probably kick it up a little bit. But I think it also it's a movie that's not supposed to have a plot, so it's a weird kind of. I'm very curious to see if my opinion changes after seeing the new one.
Interesting to see.
Because supposedly Maverick is fantastic. The reviews are really good. It's doing well. I think it's a movie we needed, especially right before Jurassic World, where that's a franchise that is also trying to catch on their nostalgia and, you know, by bringing back the original cat.
I swear to God, if they kill any of them off, I will be furious.
I think Alan Grant. I think they're going to kill Alan Grant.
They better not.
Or kill
Chris Pratt.
Or Alan Grant is actually going to take control of all the Raptors because he's going to be the actual king of the Raptors.
Chris Pratt needs to go. I'm sorry. I'm done with Chris Pratt. I really am. He plays the same character in every movie he's in. You can't argue with that.
I need some time to think about it. Thank you.
You cannot argue with that.
I will find a counterpoint to you and I will edit it in while you're not here to argue it. So you keep talking.
Very good. I like that. Thank you.
You suck.
Did you...
Did I what?
No, I was going to say, did you ever play the video game for Top Gun? I mean, that's before our time.
No.
Oh, God.
That was a big thing, though, the video games based off.
80s video games for Atari and for, I think, the earliest Nintendo. Mm-hmm. Are you really looking for...
I am really looking up. I'm just going to go purely on film, though. Let's see. Wanted. Oh, I forgot he was in Wanted.
So apparently, Top Gun and Few Good Men, both Tom Cruise movies, are the inspiration for the TV series JAG, which obviously led to the NCIS franchise. So, you know, if you watched, I've only ever seen a few episodes of JAG, but it's basically, you know, Few Good Men with a backstory that is kind of Top Gun.
Zero Dark Thirty.
Okay, I never saw that. That's fair.
All right. Whew, I feel better. Mm. I need to lay down. That was hard.
I don't know. I still think I won that argument.
I will.
One movie.
I'm going to give it to you. Don't worry.
Even Lego Movie, he's the same character.
Ironically enough, in the second Lego Movie, He's two of the same character. Oh my God. Did you ever see the second Lego movie?
I think so, but I don't remember being that memorable.
Yeah, it wasn't nearly as good.
Yeah.
But
the Lego movie was just fun.
Yeah, and then Lego Batman was fantastic.
Oh, Lego Batman is the best out of all of them.
Oh, it's so weird how that
happens. Didn't the Super Mario movie get like delayed or something like that?
Oh, I don't know. I'd have to check.
Because I know he's playing Mario. Which
I want to watch Sonic the Hedgehog this weekend, I think.
Oh, that's right. That's on Paramount Plus.
Yes. Did you ever see the second one?
No, I never got around to seeing it in theaters.
Yeah, so maybe I'll watch that today.
Yeah, maybe watch that.
Yeah, and then maybe we'll talk about it. Who knows?
And we got to watch Top Gun Maverick, though. That's our first priority.
Yeah, we got so much to do. We're going to have to really pre-record a bunch of
retro reviews.
But anyway, do you want to do some fan feedback Friday?
Yes, yeah, sure. We got a little backlog, so let's read them off.
We have 1 week of backlog. All right, so hold on. All right, full disclosure. I wasn't knocking anything. So we were supposed to meet Memorial Day weekend on Memorial Day. Sean got home. He was away on vacation. He got home, I think, like that Sunday or that. Yeah. So we meant to meet on Monday and record, and just we went to breakfast. And then we just had no momentum, and then it was tough that Monday because we had other things to do. It was Memorial Day.
We had to go back to work the next day, and we're just like, ugh.
Yeah, so unfortunately, it just kind of – we will do Star Wars at some point. Maybe when we talk Obi-Wan at the end of its season run, we'll talk a little bit about something. Because obviously, Obi-Wan takes place at the same – almost a year from Solo, which makes it even weirder considering 10-year-old Leia and 47-year-old Han Solo – oh, creepy. But anyway, all right. So we have two Fan Feedback Fridays because we are back a week. And this was from Memorial Day weekend, I believe. Fan Feedback Friday, what are we binge watching this weekend? Obi-Wan, Stranger Things, or something else? So basically at the same time, Obi-Wan dropped its first two episodes. And
Stranger Things dropped its first 7 episodes.
Yes.
The first part of season 4.
All right. So we got a couple of answers. And we had some votes, too, which is even funnier. Obi-Wan, how do you feel about it? I see a lot of people saying it isn't going to be any good and more about the Inquisitor than Obi-Wan. Yeah, it feels like Obi-Wan's not the star of his own show sometimes. But it's fantastic. They're already talking about season 2 for it.
Oh, yeah. Which I'm happy with because now I know at least it's not going to end right where New Hope.
Oh, my God. This is a long list. Ready? Okay, so from Rob's film class, only one vote for Stranger Things Season 4 and one for Obi-Wan. The rest of the students of the class are binging the following shows. You ready? Mm. I think they do this just to hear me list it fast, because that's like a thing I do. The Office, South Park, Derby Girls, BoJack Horseman, Love, Death, and Robots Season 3, Castle and Chicago Fire or SVU, Friends, Yellowstone, Cobra Kai, The Good Place, and Bungo Stray Dogs, Heartstopper, Family Guy, Punisher, and That 70s Show.
Can you do that again, please?
Nope. I already struggled through that one. Let's see. For our new listeners to the show. Oh, yeah, that's right. Rob's junior class got to jump in on this one, too. Two votes for Obi-Wan, one for Stranger Things, and the rest are binging the following. Power, Empire, Law & Order SVU, Shameless, BoJack, Quantico, Supernatural in Season 8. Wow. Breaking Bad, Grey's Anatomy, again. Teen Wolf, again. I love Teen Wolf. Better Call Saul, Walking Dead, Gilmore Girls, and Bridgerton. Chicago Fire, Criminal Minds, Orange is the New Black, and The Fosters. All right, Ronnie from the Multiverse Fancast. He is finishing up on Titans, and then he's going to start Obi-Wan. And let's see.
Did I put anything?
Yeah, you did. You put watching Obi-Wan first, and then Stranger Things.
How I did it.
And I put Stranger Things. So thanks. Oh, that was a fun one. That was a good one. Let's see. And then this past week, we had I'm getting to it. With rumors that Obi-Wan Kenobi is being renewed, what is another show? What is any show that you think should get a brand new season?
This was a tough one.
Oh, yeah. Because there's so many shows that like literally you could just – that deserve it, right?
I want another season of Smallville.
I know you do. Let's see. I put Heroes with the original cast.
Didn't they do another season of Heroes?
They tried to, but it didn't have all the original cast in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's why you emphasize the original cast.
From Rob's film class. Oh, my God. They do this to...
it's Rob. He's like, guys, everybody, you got to come up with an answer here.
All right. Freddy, I'm not okay with this. The Society, Anne with an E, Spinning Out, Orange is the New Black, Glow, Chivalry of a Failed Knight, Backstage, Movie Treasure Planet 2, Everything Sucks, Julian the Phantom, Teenage Bounty Hunters, Generation Revolution, Sherlock, Phineas and Ferb, that's a phony one, Dickinson, Gilmore Girls with a Better Ending, Dairy Girls, Drake and Josh, Gravity Falls, The Boys, if it isn't already renewed for season 4. That's funny. Let's see. Ariana de Saint Leon said Chivalry of a Failed Knight. It's an anime.
Someone else wrote that too.
Yeah, it's a good one. Let's see. Ronnie said, can I do two? Psych and
no,
Monk.
No, Ronnie, you can't do two.
Psych and Monk. I didn't know he was a fan of Psych and Monk. I would have said the 4400, but the original 4400. Let's see. From Rob himself, Gallivant. From Rob's junior class, The Society, The Carrie Diaries, Zoe 101, iCarly, Daredevil, Adventure Time, Regular Show, The Office, American, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, yes. Lucifer, yes. Scream Queens, The Originals with a new ending. So, wow, a lot of shows. A lot of shows. Very good job. Thanks to Rob's film classes. Yeah, you guys are awesome. Make sure you like, comment, subscribe, and download. Can you stop coughing when I'm trying to pitch the show?
I'm sorry.
Rude. But anyway. Oh, and breaking news. I Am Groot from Marvel has a release date and a new poster. Oh,
I
yeah.
I didn't know they were doing it. What is that? A TV show?
Yeah. On Disney Plus, August 10th.
So basically, the whole episode's going to be I Am Groot?
I hope so.
Is there going to be subtitles?
I hope so. And I hope that I really hope that the subtitles are so long compared to how short his sentences are, and just like beautifully and just lovely etiquette with it. But yeah, that's all of our fan feedback for Friday.
That's it.
That was great.
That was good. I enjoyed that. Sorry.
Sean's just busy on his phone. I'm just not entertaining him. It's fine.
Not at all. You never do. Well, this was fun, Paul.
And obviously not entertaining.
Looking forward. Hopefully we don't have any gaps in our episodes again for a while.
I hope so. We love you guys. And we love doing this. And just unfortunately, if we don't do it on a Friday, there's only like a 75% chance that we're going to get it done on a Sunday.
Yeah, I know. It's bad.
So. But it's going to luckily, June's a very busy time for me, especially. And, you know, with Sean's work schedule, it really conflicts with us trying to get together sometimes. But hopefully the next couple of weeks, we'll be able to kind of take a breath and get it all in.
Take my breath away.
You're welcome. You're welcome. You made me sing, so I was really hoping you'd jump in. So, yeah.
That's true. So, other than that, what else we got? Anything else?
You can find us more.
There you go.
If you guys are on social media, whether it's Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, not Snapchat, that's weird, YouTube. If you guys type in The Misfit Faction, odds are you'll find some of our content. You have our website, themisfitfaction.com. We want to start doing some new shirts, especially for Cinematic Adventures. So if you guys have a movie quote that you would love, let us know, because we always have some fun. I feel the need
for speed would be a good one.
I feel like we'd get sued. We'd get sued for all of our money.
What money?
I have $7 in my pocket.
Seven more than I got.
All right. Who cares cash? But yeah, so make sure you guys check that out and keep in touch with us. We'd love to hear from you. Do it on Facebook. We're very responsive if you look at our Facebook page. It actually says that, very responsive. So people know.
All righty, folks. So we hope you guys have a good rest of your week, and we're looking forward to doing this again next week. So as always, I am Sean.
And I am Paul.
Have a good one, everybody.
Bye.